What is up, everybody? It's Megan here with the Financially Free Friday episode of the Student Loan Planner Podcast. And today we are going to be chatting about retirement red flags. Five signs that you are not ready for retirement. And let me tell you, I have a couple red flags myself here, so we'll talk about that. We'll talk it through. It's okay. You probably have some red flags as well. Retirement isn't about just having money. It's about having a plan. Too many people retire only to realize that they weren't quite as ready as they thought. A lot of people also have that panic as we're getting closer and closer to retirement, thinking like, did I save enough? Did I prepare enough? Did I plan enough? We're going to really cover the five major red flags that can mean you're not quite ready and what we could do about them. So we're going to break it down into what the red flag is, of course, why it's a problem, give you an example, and then talk about a fix on how we can fix these things. Let's jump in. Oh, and by the way, I might sneeze during this. I hope you guys aren't getting assaulted by the pollen out there these days. It's quite heavy down here in the South. We get a very nice yellow blanket on everything, every single day. I literally backed my car out of the driveway yesterday to go to the gym. My husband is standing in the driveway, and I had left it out. I think I had gone to the grocery store earlier or something, but I had left it outside for maybe half the day. And get in the car, back up, drive off. My husband calls me and he tells me that I literally drove off in a cloud of yellow dust. I left a yellow dust cloud as I was driving out of our driveway. So when I tell you it is bad down here in the South in Georgia, it is bad. And I know the Carolinas are getting it pretty bad as well. So if you are moving and grooving through this, power to you. I am there with you. My nose is a little stopped up. You'll be able to hear it, but we're going to make it through. All right, let's jump into red flag number one. You don't know what your monthly cash flow needs are. Oh, this one is so good because I feel like our financial planning process starts with cash flow. And sometimes that confuses people. They might think like, oh man, are you going to be putting me on a budget? It's not quite that. You know, our process when we're getting started with someone is we have our onboarding meeting, which is let's talk about your goals, your objectives. Let's introduce you to the tools that we use as part of our financial planning process. And then the very next meeting is diving into cash flow and budgeting. We use a tool called Monarch Money to track our cash flow and to give us a good idea of how much we're spending on a month-to-month basis. A lot of folks, too many folks, want to skip over this step because it's not fun. It's not sexy, right? Like investing is way sexier than talking about how much you spent at the grocery store. But knowing your cash flow, knowing how much we spend on a month-to-month basis, what that does for us today, of course, is it keeps us spending within our means. But what it does for us in the future is it helps us understand how much does it cost to make you happy right now, to cover the bills that you have to pay, to spend money on the things that you really love to do. How can we maintain that lifestyle or have a better lifestyle in retirement? How can we get down to that number? And it starts with your monthly cash flow needs. Why is this a problem if you don't know what your cash flow needs are? I think I already kind of explained that. But I also think many retirees underestimate how much they're going to spend, especially in the earlier years. One of my good friends growing up in financial planning with me, he used to say all the time to clients during meetings, think about retirement as a Saturday. Every day is a Saturday. During the week, when do you think you spend the most money? If you had to think about your spending today, it's probably going to be on a Saturday. And why? It's because Saturday is the weekend. We're usually off work. And think about this too as like a day that you're off work, like the 2 days you have off between your next shift or whatever it is. You probably spend the most money on those days that you have off because that's when you can go out and do fun stuff. You can go to concerts, you can go shopping, you could do fun things with your friends, brunch with the friends. Every day is a Saturday in retirement. A lot of times people think, oh, I'm going to spend a lot less in retirement. And that's on the contrary, like usually not what we see. A lot of times we see people actually spend more because they want to spoil their grandkids, or they want to travel to see their kids, or they want to be saving for something for their grandkids, like putting money into education accounts. They're doing a lot more traveling, a lot more just not working. When you're working 8-10 hours a day, you are not able to really spend money because we are busy doing things. We're busy making money. So when every day is a Saturday and we have nothing else to do but to do fun things, it is much easier to spend money. An example on this, I think I gave a lot of examples here, but a new retiree spends more on travel and on hobbies than expected. This can lead to faster portfolio depletion. So that could mean we're using a lot more of the money we saved faster than we thought. So a fix for this is to track expenses now, run a test retirement budget before taking the leap. So a lot of folks listening to this, like, retirement is a little far out there. But I also like to do tests with my budget or with my cash flow on, like, changes, big changes that come into play. Like, let's pretend like your next goal is buying a house. You can run a test budget with that mortgage in the mix, you know, pretending like we already have that mortgage to feel how it feels within the month to month spending. So you could do this with retirement as well. Track expenses, kind of run a retirement budget, get a feel for how much we're going to be spending potentially, and talk to maybe your parents or your grandparents. Get a feel for how they did this. You know, what is their situation like? And if their situation is not what you want for yourself, then we need to start thinking about these cash flow needs and how much we're spending and how much we want to spend in retirement now, so we're not like them. So, red flag number one. Red flag number two, you haven't factored in inflation. Inflation is a problem, right? Especially if we're not considering it. Why is this a problem? $1 million today is not going to go as far in 20 years, especially with healthcare and living costs rising. And they do every year. Every year costs, you know, for things just get more and more expensive. Think about maybe 20 years ago. Everyone listening to this is at least 20 years old, right? Or like you were a kid or you were a teenager 20 years ago. Think about how much things cost back then. How much did it cost to fill up your car with gas? How much did it cost to buy the makeup at the drugstore that you used in high school? Think about those things and think about how much those things cost now. It is very different. So $1 million today sounds like a lot, but it is not going to spend the same way 20 years from now. An example here, someone retiring today at 60 could see their purchasing power nearly cut in half by 80 if they don't plan for inflation. So the fix for this is we need to be investing in assets that hedge against inflation. So that's stocks, real estate, inflation-protected bonds potentially. That might be later on closer to retirement where we're entertaining bonds. But certainly investing in assets that appreciate over time and that outpace inflation. Stuffing a bunch of money in your mattress or in a checking account or even maybe a high-yield savings account that's only earning 3 or 4%. That is not going to hedge against inflation. It's going to go backwards against inflation. We need to be factoring in inflation, especially with our calculations when we're projecting out for our retirement savings and making sure that, you know, the money that we're saving today is enough and we're investing in things that will outpace inflation over time. Red flag number three, you're not sure about your withdrawal strategy. Why is this a problem? And what the heck is a withdrawal strategy? Well, we are saving, right? Saving for retirement, putting money aside for retirement on a month-to-month basis. And we're putting money in different buckets, right? We have maybe a 401k, a 403b, or some kind of employer-based account. We have maybe an IRA or a Roth IRA. We have an investment or a brokerage account that's not tied to retirement specifically. You know, maybe we have Social Security in the future. Maybe we're at a job where we have a pension, if we're lucky enough. Maybe we've heard about something called an annuity, you know, something that pays you a guaranteed amount of money for the rest of your life or for a specific period of time, something you probably won't have right now, but it could be something that you're looking at in retirement to kind of create that floor of the guaranteed income streams that you have. So we're putting all this money in these different buckets. And we're going to need a withdrawal strategy when we're going to retire. What buckets are we going to pull from first and why? Does it make sense to have money in a lot of different buckets to give us options, depending on what the tax situation is at the time or what inflation is doing, or if you're still working part-time? So we need a withdrawal strategy. Why is this a problem? Because without a plan, you risk withdrawing too much too soon or being way too conservative and too frugal where we're not enjoying what we've done and saved and built for ourselves for the future. So an example, there is a classic rule of thumb called the 4% rule. This 4% rule means when we take a look at our assets at the time of going to retire, we take 4% of those assets every year. That's, you know, exactly how much we're going to withdraw on an annual basis to maintain our retirement. The 4%, that number could be anything depending on what balance we're looking at, right? If we have a million, if we have 5 million, 250,000, like that 4% rule, that number is going to spit out something different depending on how much we've saved. This may or may not work for everyone, especially if we have very volatile markets in the future where maybe we don't want to touch our assets for 1 year. We don't want to take money out because our investments are down. We want to let them recoup and not take money out of the market at a loss. So the fix here is having a structured withdrawal plan that accounts for taxes, that accounts for market downturns, that accounts for required minimum distributions, RMDs. Have you heard of those before? Well, if you've got a lot of money in these taxable accounts, the IRS is going to make you start taking money out of those taxable accounts at some point. They want their money because you have to pay taxes on those taxable accounts. And at 73 years old or so, you're going to have to start taking money out if you're not already. And they give you a formula for how much you have to start taking money out. So even if you don't want to, you've got to start taking money out of those accounts. Having different buckets of money, taxable accounts, non-taxable. So if we have some Roth assets or tax-free, I should say, you know, tax-free assets are really valuable. Taxable assets, you know, our brokerage accounts that we've been taxed on leading up to retirement. All of these accounts come into play and they need to be part of a cohesive strategy. And you will have, or you want to have, some kind of withdrawal strategy when it comes to your retirement plan. And I mentioned the floor earlier. I kind of allude to a retirement floor as a fixed, usually guaranteed paycheck that's coming in. What could that be? That's the floor. That's the very minimum that we can expect no matter what every single month in retirement. That could be Social Security. You know, we'll see if that's around. That could be a pension. A pension is seen as like a paycheck that continues to come in your retirement until you pass away. Or it could be an annuity vehicle. So an annuity is basically we can purchase this in retirement or closer to retirement or really at any point, but it's meant to spit out a monthly paycheck for you or an annual paycheck for you. And how much it spits out depends on how much you purchase. So how much money did you dump into this annuity? Those you want to be careful about just because it's like a pretty committed contract. If you give an annuity company, let's say $500,000, let's say it guarantees a $4,000 paycheck until you die, we're locked into that for better or for worse. So if that $500,000 could have done better in the market or done better just as you having a different withdrawal strategy, but you're already committed to the annuity, we can't really unwind it. So that's why annuities, I wouldn't say have a bad name necessarily. It's just we need to make sure that they're placed appropriately. And this is where a withdrawal strategy comes into play. Now, this is my red flag. I don't have a withdrawal strategy for myself quite yet. Why? Because I am still a ways from retirement. I'm still pretty young. I have an idea of what my withdrawal strategy could be. I'm building buckets to start putting together options for me to be able to withdraw from, but I don't have that specifically drawn out yet. But that is something the closer and closer you get to retirement that you want to be piecing together. And you may not know exactly how that's going to play out yet because you're still building and growing assets, but you want to have an idea of what you're working towards. And that's what retirement planning is about. That's what a lot of times financial planning is all about, is how are we going to get to the point where we don't have to work anymore? And our assets are paying us over time to where we don't have to earn income. So that's my red flag. Probably your red flag as well, if you're similar to my age range, which a lot of folks on listening to this podcast are. So not necessarily a bad thing, but the fix here is, you know, to be thinking about this and to be building this over time and to have, you know, some kind of game plan for this long term. And that could be something that you're building over time. So it doesn't have to be something overnight that we build out. All right. Red flag number four, you're carrying too much debt. This is a big, big red flag. If we're coming into retirement or getting closer to retirement and we have a lot of debt, why is this a problem? Because debt means you have high fixed costs. This could be a mortgage payment, or this could be credit card debt. Heck, it could also be student loan debt. We've done a ton of student loan debt consultations for folks who are closer to retirement or who will be retiring with their student loans. Not to say that you can't retire or end working with student loan debt, because thankfully federal student loans, if we have some parent plus loans, for example, we still have access to income-driven repayment plans, and that could be part of our budgeting plan for our retirement years. So an example here, let's say a retiree with a $2,500 mortgage may need an extra $750,000 in assets just to cover the housing costs for 30 years. Let's say that's somebody with like a brand new mortgage, but that means we have to have a lot of assets to be able to generate a $2,500 payment per month for 30 years or for however long your life expectancy is after retiring, or however long the mortgage is supposed to last after we go to retire. So the fixed expenses are what we have to plan for. And that could just mean that we got to plan for more if we've got more fixed expenses in the picture. So the fix here is to pay down high interest debt before retiring, and then maybe consider downsizing. You'd really want to be thinking about those fixed expenses that you're going to have in retirement and decide, you know, is that something that we're able to save and prepare appropriately for? Or do we need to consider downsizing to make it a little easier to get there a little faster potentially? A lot of numbers go into some of those calculations, but debt in general, we want to get out of consumer debt as fast as possible. Like your hair's on fire, truly. Like, very expensive. Credit card debt is the most expensive debt out there. And if we have credit card debt, that also tells me that we have a cash flow problem. Either we didn't have emergency savings to tackle maybe an unexpected event or an emergency situation, and we've got to rebuild that. And then secondly, maybe if this is a chronic problem where we're always paying interest on our credit cards, or we always seem to have a balance, maybe we're consistently doing balance transfers or something like that. That tells me, that's a big red flag right there, but that tells me that we have a cash flow issue and we need to be diving into what our spending is and getting more disciplined in either what our spending is and what our expenses should and should not be, and or increasing our income. There's only one way to fix a cash flow problem when we're negative, right? And we'd be negative if we're going into credit card debt. You know, a couple different ways you could fix that: increase our income or reduce expenses or do a combination of both. So we'd have to really dive in there to figure out what's going on and fix it as soon as possible. That way we can get to retirement, know how much we're able to spend, and not have to worry about these big fixed expenses coming into a retirement situation. All right, number five, red flag number five. You have no plan for what you'll do in retirement. This one, I don't know. I think this might be my red flag with retirement as well. I'm not exactly sure what kind of retiree I'm going to be in the future. Am I going to want to teach financial planning somewhere at a university, or do something completely different? Maybe, you know, I come from a family of librarians. My mom, my grandma, my aunt, they're all librarians. Do I want to go live kind of a quiet lifestyle in retirement and maybe work at the library? I don't know. I don't know what my plans are for retirement. But why is this a problem? Well, many people focus so much on getting to retirement, saving and building and growing our assets to get to retirement, that they don't think about what they'll actually do. And sometimes, like, this is hard, right? Because a lot of times feels so far away, and it's very hard to get into that mind frame of knowing what we want to do in our retirement years. So an example here is a retired physician can really struggle with boredom and maybe returns to work, not for money, but for fulfillment. And I see that actually a lot. I see folks retire, essentially. They get bored. There's not much that they're doing day to day. There's only so much fun you can have over and over and over again every single day when every day is a Saturday for some folks. And so folks return back to work. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. I think a lot of folks, probably me included, like will want something to do to keep me like active and to keep me thinking and still learning and growing as a person. On the flip side of things, I'll brag about my father-in-law. He is going to be retiring this upcoming year. He has spent his entire career as an educator here in Georgia, a coach. He coached softball and baseball throughout his years. Most recently, he was coaching golf, and he has finally decided to go ahead and retire. And it was a big, big, big decision for him, but he had practice. He was an educator, so he had the summers off. He had practice knowing what he would do when he was retired. And he would tell us often about all the things he would do, all the projects he would do, more things that he would do when he had more time than just the summer off. And he really did a good job of envisioning that and dreaming about it and having that be kind of the goal, you know, of course, getting there financially, but also having like the lifestyle and desiring that lifestyle post-retirement. Like he did a good job of thinking about that for himself for a long time. I'm really excited to have him around, you know, a lot more often that now that he doesn't have to go to school for 8 hours a day. So thinking about what you want to do in retirement, I don't think that's a bad thing to do. I don't think that's, you know, putting the cart before the horse kind of thing. I think it is something that gives you something to look forward to. And the fix here is that it, you know, create a plan that includes hobbies, social engagement, travel, maybe some part-time work if you want to. I think he might honestly get a part-time job at the golf store in his neighborhood. He might really, really enjoy that. But again, he's not doing it for money, but maybe for the fulfillment to talk to people, gab about golf all day. That sounds pretty fun. But think about those types of things. And that could be another motivator too, as you're working your way towards retirement. What's kind of sad is depression is actually quite normal at retirement. It's because people experience symptoms of depression, I think, during retirement or recently getting into retirement, because it brings a significant life change. And it's totally okay to feel those emotions as you're adjusting, but you might feel a sense of loss, you know, particularly if your career was a big part of your personality, your identity, it was your social experience during the day, you know. It's a very sudden shift from being busy or having a very structured work life to a much, much more open-ended schedule, potentially, which can leave you feeling a certain type of way. You know, I think thinking about retirement could be a really good thing to do. Healthy, I would say. And, you know, dreaming about that, I think it's a good idea. So let's recap the 5 signs that you're not quite ready for retirement, some 5 red flags that we should be turning into green flags if we can. But red flag number 1, you don't know your monthly cash flow needs. That is a crucial, crucial, crucial part of the financial planning process, no matter where you're starting. If you're 23 and just getting started with learning about money, you're starting with cash flow. If you're 35 and you've gotten, you know, the first decade of your career out of the way, you're getting started being serious about finances, we're starting with cash flow. If we're just now starting to think about retirement planning at 55, we're going to start with cash flow. So no one escapes this for me, not in my mind, not in my step of the financial planning process. So cash flow, don't be a red flag here. Make sure you have an idea of where your money's going on a month-to-month basis. Red flag number 2, you haven't factored in inflation, so make sure you're doing that. So turn that into a green flag. Invest in assets that are appreciating to hedge against inflation. Red flag number 3, you're not sure about your withdrawal strategy. This is my red flag. I'm not quite sure exactly how I'll be withdrawing my money in the future to go and retire, but I have some ideas. So start thinking about some ideas and start building out a financial plan with a professional potentially to start to visualize that. Red flag number four, you're carrying too much debt. Get that debt out of here. Get that debt out of here. If it's student loan debt and we have a game plan going towards loan forgiveness, treat that debt more like a tax. You know, pay as little as possible to maximize the forgiveness. You already know you're probably on the right track because you've talked about it or worked with us on it, or you've been listening to this podcast about it. Red flag number five, you have no plan for what you're going to do in retirement. So start dreaming. Start dreaming about what you would like to do in retirement. I know I'm going to. So do a little quick retirement readiness checkup based on these five red flags and start fixing any weak spots that you have. If this episode was helpful, share it with a friend who's thinking about retirement or who's thinking about starting to save for retirement. You may feel good about maybe having some green flags out of this list. Maybe you have a good handle on your budget, or maybe you have definitely been dreaming about retirement. Great. But if you need some help putting together your plan, reach out. We would love to chat. It was a pleasure chatting with you on this Friday afternoon, and I hope you have a great weekend coming up. I will catch you on the next one.
What if you could get fiduciary financial planning specific to your profession that's student loan aware that could change your life for a price much better than you ever dreamed possible? If that sounds good to you, go to slpwealth.com/pod for a free, no obligation 15-minute intro call with one of our own fiduciary financial planners to see if we could be a good fit for you. This podcast is for informational, educational, and entertainment purposes only and should not be considered individualized investment advice. If a specific investment is mentioned, do not consider it a recommendation to buy or sell the investment. Seek first advice from a financial professional before implementing any strategies discussed. All investments involve risk, and past performance does not guarantee future results. Yay, compliance.